Why don't we open it in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, as we come before you tonight, may you open up our hearts. May we come to you and worship you during this season, Lord, as we remember the wonderful gift that that you gave to us when you came to take away our sins, Lord. And we just thank you that you did that for us. Help us now to focus in upon your word and some of the doctrines that you've given us, Lord, in order to worship you correctly. We just thank you for this in your precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen. I just want to do a quick review. I've been covering the doctrine of salvation over the last few months or so when I've been able to teach. And tonight what we're going to cover is the doctrine of regeneration. In covering the doctrine of salvation, it's the process of Christ's salvation at work in us as redeemed men and women. The emphasis is not upon how we can get the grace of God, but on how God applies His grace to us. So far, through 5-minute teachings and these regular teachings, I've gone over the doctrine of salvation, the evangel or the gospel, the doctrine of effectual calling, the doctrine of election, and the last time I taught was the doctrine of predestination. Today we're going to look at regeneration. We're going to look at what is regeneration and what does it mean to us. So what is regeneration? Let's take a look at John 3. And we're going to look at references, verses 5 and 7, but I'm going to read the whole passage, starting in verse 1 and going through verse 9. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." So again, we want to focus in on verses 5 and 7. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You must be born again. So what is the definition of regeneration? The Greek word is palingenesia. In Matthew 19:28, it says this. So Jesus said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones judging the tribes of Israel." And this particular verse, it refers to the regeneration of all things. In Titus 3:5, it says, "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." It refers to the recreation of God's elect in Christ. So in what sense are we a new creature or a new creation? Nicodemus asked Jesus in John 3:4, "Can we enter in again to our mother's womb and be reborn?" Of course not. We can't do that. So what does it mean? Well, we take a look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all have become new. And this word, in this verse, the word new, kainos, means not new in time or newly made. It doesn't mean that they were newly made or not new in time. It means a new quality or a new nature. So if you plug that in, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new quality creature, a new nature creature. Okay, he has a different nature. We have a different quality to us. How many of you have remodeled your homes? A lot of you. How many of you have seen a remodel show on TV? Now, I'm not talking about Extreme Makeover, because they usually destroy the house and build something completely new. I'm talking about those that give you the before and after pictures, and it's the same house. Okay, they don't completely destroy it. So you see these pictures. Maybe it's an older home. They come in, they gut it, maybe, and then they rebuild it anew. This is something like regeneration. Did the house remodel itself? No. It's the same thing with regeneration. We're passive in it. It's God who does the remodeling, not us. Okay? We have to get that down clear. It has nothing to do with us. Regeneration is passive for us. In the same way that we had nothing to do with our conception, or how he grew us in the womb, or how we grow each day, it's the same thing with regeneration. We're passive in that also. It is an act of God alone. When the remodel is complete, it is the same house, yet with a different appearance to it. Regeneration, however, does not make a metaphysical change in us. We are still creatures with the same aptitudes, the same social situations, the same life context. Naturally, we are still the same. Our physical defects are still there. We do not grow younger every day. We do not change appearance. The difference is moral. American Heritage Dictionary has a good definition. And it says, of or concerned with the discernment or instruction of what is good and evil. We begin to see and understand what God wants us to do and not do with certain things. We start to become morally new creatures with new natures. We do not reform ourselves. We are made new in Jesus Christ. Regeneration is a begetting again. To beget something is to father something, to sire something. So it is a begetting, a miraculous change. Nicodemus was often and is often abused for not understanding what Jesus said. But he did get a good grasp on it. He could see that there was a clear need for some type of miracle if this was to happen. He saw that a man must be born again. He just didn't know how it was going to come about. How could his sinful past and nature be wiped out? How could anything like that happen short of a miracle? Now remember, he was a Pharisee. He's grown up believing certain things of how things are done. The word told him only blood covers sin. And that was only temporary. You had to do it each year. Nothing could completely wipe it out. So he's wondering to himself, how can this whole new nature come about? What about the law and the prophets and what it says? How do I follow that if you're telling me something different? So see, he had a grasp, but a miracle had to happen here. And it is only by a miracle that Jesus wipes out our mental lives, our ingrained presuppositions about things, our destructive habits. He's the only one that can do it. Jesus makes it clear in John 3:6, quote, "The children of God must be begotten of God." The rebirth is supernatural. The new man is born of spirit. Jesus also makes clear it's of water and of the spirit. The water refers to actual water, a cleansing agent, and to baptism, which we publicly give witness that we've come to Christ as a saving act and a regeneration in our lives. Remember, none seek after God. No, not one. Regeneration is like that switch that he throws in our lives that tells us we're going the wrong way, that we need to repent, which means do a 180 and get back on track and do what he wants us to do. Some also refer to the water as natural birth and the spirit as our spiritual birth. A two-step process. First, we have to be born a human, not an animal, a human. And second, we have to believe in Christ and become spiritually reborn also. Jesus spoke in 1928 of the totality of the new creation. The creation being new in everything, a new heaven, a new earth, new qualities to our life, a new body, the laying down with the lamb and such. In Revelation 21:5, we're also told, "Behold, I, Jesus, make all things new." So what is the goal of regeneration? One is to create a new humanity in Jesus Christ so that we can conquer all things in Christ. He uses us. He uses people to fulfill his will here on earth. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. He wants us to be regenerated so that he can use us in order for us to be witnesses unto others, to bring others into the kingdom, and to take dominion in all areas of our lives, not just church, but our work and our play and everything that we're involved in life. We are to take charge. We are to take control. We are to take dominion in his name. 2, the recreation of the whole creation of heaven and earth to become fully and perfectly the kingdom of God. That's the end goal, is the establishment fully of his kingdom and his control over all things. Our personal regeneration looks forward to our exercise of dominion in Christ and onward towards the dominion of Christ, the universal regeneration that Christ will accomplish in the end. So why is regeneration important for us? Regeneration is central to our faith. Once we become born again, it is the foundation upon which the rest of the process sits. Justification, sanctification, and those that will come after that. These different doctrines are all based on the regeneration that happens after we believe in him. It is the break made by God in our lives that separates us from our past life. It allows us to see sin as it really is and to reverse the course. God gives us the same concept of regeneration in several other places. I'll talk slow here so that you can get the references, because I'm not going to go through them all. But the first term that he gives us is geneo, G-E-N-N-A-O. It means to beget. And anageneo, A-N-A-G-E-N-N-A-O, to beget again. We find those in John 3:3, 1:13, 3 verses 3 through 8. We also find it in 1 Peter 1, 23. Also in 1 John 2, 29, 3, verse 9, chapter 4, verse 7, chapter 5, verses 1, 4, and 18. The second term that he uses, similar to regeneration, is apokuēo. A-P-O-K-U-E-O, to bring forth. The term is to bring forth. We find that in James 1:18. The next one is ktizo, K-T-I-Z-O, means to create. Ephesians 2:10. Next term is kainos, K-A-I-N-O-S, ketesis, K-T-E-S-I-S. A new creature or creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, Galatians 6:15. And the next one is kainos, K-A-I-N-O-S, anthropos, A-N-T-H, R-O-P-O-S, a new man, Ephesians 4:24. The last term, suzupoio, S-U-Z-O-O-P-O-I-E-O. This one's really neat. To make alive with. To make alive with. What does the Bible say? You were dead in your trespasses and sins. Now that you accept him, you are made alive with him. You now have eternal life. You now live in the kingdom of God. You are a new creation right now. You are not waiting for his kingdom. You are in his kingdom. You are his subject. You can rejoice right now. All of these terms imply that, one, regeneration is God's work and we are passive in it. Number two, God's creative work produces new life in Christ. And man shares Christ's life and calling to good work. Ephesians 2:10. Third, this new life produces action in our lives. Next time, we're going to cover the doctrine of conversion, faith, and repentance. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before you. We just thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for this love letter that you've given us, that it's filled with doctrines, with teachings, Lord, which allow us to see how you want us to live for you. We thank you, Lord, for what you do and how you provide in each of our lives. We just thank you. We want to keep you in mind during this season, Lord. We thank you in your precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen.